Dayam Vishnupad Ramham Supreme Vajagacharya Ashto Terasatis to Shimar's Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki. Jayam Vishnupad Ramham Supreme Vajagacharya Ashto Terasatis to Shimar's Divine Grace, Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Prabhupada Ki. Ananta Bodhi Vaishnavind Ki. Rantra Shimad Bhagavad Gita Ki. Nitai Gura Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 2. Chapter is entitled Contents of the Gita Summarized. Text 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Hare Krishna. So Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, text 15. Please repeat after me. Yam
hi
na yatayanti ite
purusha sabha
sama dukha sukham dhiram so bhetatvaya kalpate yam hi na vyatayante te purusham purusha sabha samadukha sukham dhiram somitatvaya kalpate yam
one who
he certainly
never
Vyatayanti
are distressing.
Ete
all these.
Purusham
to a person.
Purusha Shabha
is best among men.
Sama
unaltered.
Dukha
distress.
Sukham
happiness.
Dhiram
patient.
Sa
he.
Amitadvaya
for liberation.
Kalpate
is considered eligible.
Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Please repeat. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed
by happiness and distress,
and is steady in both,
is certainly eligible for liberation.
Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Anyone who is steady in his determination for the advanced stage of spiritual realization and can equally tolerate the onslaughts of distress and happiness is certainly a person eligible for liberation. In the Varnashram institution, the fourth stage of life, namely the renounced order, sannyas, is a painstaking situation. But one who is serious about making his life perfect surely adopts the sannyas order of life in spite of all difficulties. The difficulties usually arise from having to sever family relationships, to give up a connection of wife and children. But if anyone is able to tolerate such difficulties, surely his path to spiritual realization is complete. Similarly, in Arjuna's discharge of duties as a Kshatriya, he is advised to persevere, even if it is difficult to fight with his family members or similarly beloved persons. Lord Chaitanya took sannyas at the age of 24, and his dependents, young wife as well as old mother, had no one else to look after them. Yet, for a higher course, he took sannyas, and he was steady in the discharge of higher duties. That is the way of achieving liberation from material bondage. Om agina timinanyasya gyanagina shalakaya chakshu unmilitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manovistam stapitam yena bhutale vayam rupakada mayam dadanti swapadantitam vandeham shri guru shri yuta padakamalam shri guru vaishnavamscha Sri Rupa Sagajatam, Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajiva, Sadvaitam, Savadutam, Parijana Sahitam, Krishna Chaitanya Devam, Sri Radha Krishna Pada, Sahagana Lalita, Sri Vishakam Vitam Sacha. E Krishna Krina Sindhu, Dinabandhu Jagatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radha Kanta, Namostate. Dr. Kanchana Gorangi, Radhi Vrindavaneshwari, Vishabhanu Sute Devi Paramavi Hari Priya Vancha Kalpa Dhrubhyascha Kripa Sundhiva Evacha Vatidanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadarha Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutani Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinyamini. Namaste Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pracharini, Nirveshesha Sunyavari Paschatya Desicharini. Namo Mahabharanyaya Krishna Prima Padayati, Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tishe Namaha Ananda Lila Maya Vigrahaya Namavya Divya Chavishundraya Tasmi Maha Prima Raspradaya Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Chaitanya Chandraya Namo Namaste Hare Krishna. So here's the translation again. You don't have to repeat. O best among men, Arjuna, the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress and is steady in both is certainly eligible for liberation. Hare Krishna. So this is Sri Krishna explaining the situation that is life as we know it in this level of the material planet, the medium planet. The higher planetary systems have more happiness, less distress. The lower planetary systems have more distress, practically no happiness. And the medium planet, some happiness and some distress based on a person's karma. Yes, this the Christians like to say, you reap what you sow. So in the life before, more pious activities, then even if you have to come back here, which people usually that work in the mode of passion, there are three modes, mode of goodness, mode of passion, mode of ignorance. Those who stay in the mode of passion in one life tend to return to this type of planet that we have, the medium type planet. And depending on the activities, there's a set amount of happiness and a set amount of distress that everybody goes through. Whether they become a devotee or not, that doesn't change. The details about that may change when the person becomes a devotee, but I remember very, very well, sometime when Giddenagri, my wife and myself, we didn't have children then, we were watching a video series, Gumaraj had it, we were watching, and Sri Papa made it clear, says, the amount of happiness, the amount of distress does not change. Now, in this text, Sri Krishna himself is saying, a person who is not disturbed by how much happiness there is, or how much distress there is, and lives life, executes duties steadily, whether there's happiness time or distress time, that person is certainly eligible for liberation. Now, liberation meaning life out of this material world. That person is eligible for liberation because mentally they are already liberated. Material happiness and material distress is what is being described here. But the person that does not mentally play into it, that person is considering what's important in life, namely spiritual life. They take that seriously, whether there is material happiness happening at the time or material distress happening at that time. And the text before, Sri Krishna describes happiness and distress as things that are here, they come, they go. These are just like the seasons. They come, they go. We're in winter now. A few months, it will be spring, it will be summer, and it will be cold again, and the snow will come. So it just comes and goes and comes and goes. One must learn to tolerate them. So here, Krishna is saying the person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress, clearly a person who is not disturbed by happiness and distress is tolerating either one. Is certainly eligible for liberation. Now, in the purport, I'm kind of smiling about how Srila Prabhupada put this, because I've never heard anybody put, you know, the words that he chose for distress and happiness, especially happiness. So I read that part. It says, anyone who is steady in his determination for the advanced stage of spiritual realization, we'll come to that, advanced stage of spiritual realization, and can equally tolerate the onslaught of distress and onslaught of happiness. Now, I've never heard anybody say there's an onslaught of happiness coming. Onslaught, usually you're bracing yourself for something bad, right? But Srila Prabhupada is thinking, above all of that, happiness, material happiness is just as disturbing to a pure devotee as there is material distress. So, we say disturbing not because that happiness is bad, but it is because the pure devotee does not want to play into being attached to material happiness. As soon as you play into that, in other words, you are happy that the situation with you materially is good, then when the situation turns, because the stress will also come, okay, then you begin to feel in a morbid mood, we begin to lament. So many things come up. And so what we need to do is just use our intelligence to tell us, this is material life. This is not our life. This is the life that we are in temporarily. And hopefully it's the last lifetime that I'm in like that. And I'm going to try to get out. And that's why Srila Prabhupada starts the purport by saying, anyone who is steady in his determination for the advanced stage. In other words, advanced stage of spiritual realization means anyone who is determined to grow spiritually. That's all it amounts to. Anyone who you grow, you get to the advanced stage, obviously. So anyone who's determined to grow and understands that it's like the seasons, happiness and distress, we come, they go, that person is eligible for liberation. Now, in this purpose, Srila Prabhupada gives three situations. So before we even get to that, why is it that we tend to want happiness? We hear clearly and we know clearly that there's happiness and distress, but we always want to be happy. Even if it's materially happy, we want to be happy. Well, the situation is, Srila Prabhupada has already said, we're not the body. We're the soul. So this is our situation. The real person, the soul, engaged in the material body and away from home, away from Godhead, here. Now, The material body is a machine. The soul is a real person. But the soul is among sat and chit. The soul is ananda though. It likes happiness. So we like happiness because our souls are like that. The problem is, this is not the place for happiness. Because the soul cannot act fully like it does in the spiritual world. We're using the bodies. And the bodies gives distress, or has to deal with distress, has to deal with happiness. The body, meaning the mind also, we're talking about both physical and then the mental part of it, has to deal with this using the live person in us, which is the soul. And the soul likes the soul likes happiness. So we want happiness, but the physical body can never give us full happiness. Because the soul is not in the place where it can get full happiness. And so in one sense, those who want to enjoy, you can't blame them. Because everybody has a soul. And the soul, by nature, wants happiness. The problem is, without this, we're ignorant about the fact that we can never really have happiness here. Because this is not the place for constant happiness. This doesn't exist in this place. Anywhere in the material world, for that matter. Not even the heavenly planets. Not even there. There's still distress. And so, the best advice is what we got here. See, Krishna says, it's all material. Happiness and distress. This is not the real happiness that the soul likes. So, what we do is to be determined to get out of this. And the way to get out of this situation is to grow spiritually. Okay. So, this is all to let us understand, yes, we might want happiness, but this is the wrong place to find happiness. We might want happiness because our souls are by nature like that, but this is the wrong place to find it. Therefore, material happiness, you get, material distress, let it go, because even though the soul is the nature, it's of that nature, it's real happiness. The soul's happiness is back in the spiritual world. It won't be found here. So basically, just like Raghunath Das Goswami said, it comes to a question of manasiksha. Speak to the mind. Speak to the mind. My dear mind, if you want sense gratification, we're not going to get out of here. Because even if you think that we're going to enjoy sense gratification and that's what's going to make us happy, there is distress. Then there's birth. There's disease. There's old age. There's death, all of them miserable, and if we don't get out of this sense gratification business, we're going to take birth in this place, and home will still be there where we can really enjoy, but we'll never get a chance to go. So that's the reality, my dear mind. We have to disconnect from whatever even seems to be nice here, just so we can go for the real happiness. Just so we can go for the real happiness. So, this is why, first example, Srila Prabhupada is saying, one who is serious about making life perfect adopts the last stage of life in the Van Ashram system, the sannyas order, and takes it because the sannyas order, the sannyasi's business, is 24/7 Krishna consciousness. And so, when a person takes that order, then, despite the difficulties that may come, first one is the emotional one. The person is married, now there's a disconnection from the spouse, disconnection from the children, and, you know, the mind will give a bother because of that, you know, now I'm off, I'm here and there and there and there, and you depend totally on the mercy of the Lord. The difficulties will come, but when the person remembers this, what Krishna says, tolerate happiness, tolerate distress at the material level, then the person stays determined, as Srila Prabhupada is saying, to be all for Krishna, then surely his path to spiritual realization is complete, and that person will earn the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, in one sense, the second example, Arjuna having to fight in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Very difficult assignment, very difficult given to him by Krishna. The underlying reason for him having to fight was the reason he understood, because this was a good versus evil type fight. Krishna wanted to get rid of demonic activity on the earth, and Arjuna knew that. Still, there was some connection between him and his family members, and he saw a good many of his family members, except his own brothers, on the other side going to fight against him, and didn't seem to mind having to fight against him. He was protesting, they weren't protesting. They weren't. And so the shock of having to fight and kill or possibly be killed or injured by those that he loved was difficult for him. So he faced severe difficulty. It was life-threatening for himself and life-threatening for his family members who were on the other side. And he considers, well, it's to finally put my brother at the throne in Hastinapur. Is it even worth it? In so many ways, Duryodhana, now the politician that he was, he wasn't really doing a bad job of ruling. He wasn't. He really wasn't doing a bad job at all. He was kind sometimes to people. So it's not even like King Bhima that is, you know, executing people. It wasn't like that. So that's also something that they considered. Even Maharaj Yudhishthira considered it. Why kill so many people for a person who really isn't harming the people necessarily? Okay. But of course, that's one, Krishna wanted it, and two, Duryodhana is inherently evil anyway. Even if he's not expressing it to the people, we know what he did to the Pandavas themselves. His father did to the Pandavas themselves. So they have to go. And actually, he was also representative of a very big plan that the demons had to take over the whole universe. It wasn't just the earth only. Duryodhana was one of the representatives, so it was actually a much bigger plan. Okay. So he had to go. So anyway, Arjuna fought the fight after Krishna explained what we're reading now, Bhagavad Gita, to him, and he told him, do as you like. Krishna was Shiksha Guru at the time to Arjuna, and Arjuna took the instruction and fought. In the third example in this purport, Lord Chaitanya takes sannyas at the age of 24, knowing very well the effect that it would have on his mother and his young wife. Yet, for a higher cause, wanting to have people pay attention to him when he preached, what will get the masses out of this material life, he took the sannyas, he became a sannyasi. He went into the sannyas order again to discharge higher duties for the cause of the world's advancement in spirituality. So these examples all have one bottom line, and that bottom line is to either advance spiritually, in the case of sannyas, dedicate one life, or help for the situation here on the earth to be better spiritually. In the case of Arjuna, get rid of a lot of the demonic personalities that were here, and Lord Chaitanya to change the demonic minds of the people at the time. So a person that lives life wanting to help and tolerates happiness and distress, especially distress, because we can deal with happiness a little better than distress, material distress, that kind of person is a person that gets Krishna's attention and can grow spiritually. So happiness and distress mentioned here are from material nature. And a person that plays into happiness and distress, is material happiness and distress, usually is a person who also is doing fruitive activity. They want some fruitive material result from what they're doing. They plan something and they want it to work a certain way. If it works that way, they're happy. If it doesn't work that way, they're disturbed. Now, that does not mean that we shouldn't be doing material things to grow and take care of our families and those who are around us. Srila Prabhupada has already said, spiritual life and poverty go ill together. Especially in the Grihasthas, you definitely have to take good care of your children and yourselves and so on, and show good level of, lifestyle, living, because that also sends a message that the society of Krishna consciousness is not a society that's just given up on material life. Okay? Once people see that, then you can't even get more people to come with it and say, oh, you guys give up on material life, therefore. Give up, it wasn't material life, you give up on life. Give up on life, and you don't want to do much, therefore now you're God, you're doing the God thing, so you don't have to do much to your own selves. So yeah, given a good, even material situation is always advised, rather than, chickening out, as they say in this country. So, yes, when a person is involved only materially for fruitive activities, then, of course, happiness would affect and distress will also affect. And therefore, when we do anything, we always should be thinking about how to offer some or part of it, some or all of it, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to service them. One thing is happening right now, like Dear Krishna Prabhu and Tungavidya Mataji have opened their house for spiritual activity. They live here, but they also use it in that way. So Srila Prabhupada, one lecture about happiness and distress, is saying, everyone in the material world is trying to be free from, or at least minimize distress and maximize happiness. We already talked about why that happens. Because of the nature of the soul. Even those who have mystic powers, they enjoy what they get, the extra things that an ordinary person is not able to do from their mystic powers. So again, in one sense, it's sense gratification too. Now, in the material world, even things that we say are things that give us happiness, sometimes they give distress to somebody else. One thing. Now, it's interesting, at the time I listened to this lecture, there was some noises. This is a recorded lecture. Srila Prabhupada was talking to the devotees. So a recorded lecture. And there was so much noise. Like little explosions constantly going on behind it. And the tape recorder obviously picked it up. And so Srila Prabhupada preached for a while, and then he said, sometimes something material is causing happiness for somebody, is causing distress for another person. Like now, there's fireworks going on, right? Outside, people are enjoying what they're seeing with the fireworks. And we're having a lecture, and you guys can hardly hear me because it's all the explosions that's going on. So the same thing, causing material happiness somewhere else and material distress somewhere else. So it goes on. People sometimes can have a large party at night, street party, Saturday night, the whole people, the half of them are drunk, and they're screaming. And not too far from there, there are people who have houses, neighborhoods. They're trying to sleep. They get it. 1, 2 o'clock at night, so much noise. The people who are making noise, they claim they're enjoying themselves. The people who are trying to sleep, they're miserable. So this world, that's why Srila Prabhupada mentions, it's a duality. So it's not just happiness and distress only, but even one activity can cause happiness of someone, and another one can cause distress. Like now, we use water. It's winter. In the summertime, water is very enjoyable. In the pools, in the ocean, people go and enjoy themselves. In the wintertime, the same thing changes, the ice, and we can hardly drive on the road. Same thing. Water. Snow and ice. Same thing. So, spiritual perfection is above all of that. It's above all of that. That's why Sri Krishna says, tolerate. When it comes, happiness. When it comes, distress. Literally, sometimes when you're thinking you're happy, materially, somebody else is suffering. But what you're doing is thinking happy. And if you know, what to do? Weather, we don't control the weather, yet water can do that to us. And never mind if it comes in a large quantity, like a tidal wave, like a hurricane, it's also water. There's so much trouble it can cause. So, real yoga, bhakti yoga, is real happiness, because it's happiness of the soul. So what we're learning now is how to connect with real happiness, which is the happiness of the soul, and abandon, or basically look at happiness and distress from a material standpoint as unimportant. Okay? So our real happiness comes when the individual soul is with the Supreme Soul, Sri Krishna. We only enjoy as individual souls when we're connected with the Supreme Soul and are serving the Super Soul, the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when we're serving. Outside of that, we will be miserable. We will be miserable for the reasons that we've talked about. So, Sivabha gives an example of the need to connect with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to stay connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead at all times. Give an example of light, like fire. There are sparks from the fire. Now, as soon as the spark is part of the fire, it's all right. But when the spark gets out of the main fire, how long does it last? This fire is gone in no time. Okay? So when we disconnect from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we're not effective. Just like a spark is not effective at that time. Therefore, we need to stay connected all the time. And our real happiness is not to satisfy our senses, but to satisfy the senses of Krishna. When we satisfy the senses of Krishna, then we'll be happy. And so the whole idea of Bhakti Yoga is to satisfy the senses of Krishna. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, first text, Srimad Bhagavatam 111, in the purport, it's a very long purport. In the middle of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, because we hear so many times that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer and we are the enjoyed. That is true. Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, but in our service to him, we also enjoy, because that's where our happiness is. So in that part, Srila Prabhupada put it a little differently in the purport. He says, Krishna is a supreme enjoyer and we are subordinate enjoyers. We are subordinate enjoyers. We serve, but our activities are also enjoyable. Even now, in the material world, the things that we do, that things that everybody does, I'm not talking about devotees only, everybody does, that they enjoy. Non-devotees do, they say they're enjoying. Devotees do, they also enjoy. Non-devotees eat. Devotees eat. And they can tell you similar comments. I enjoy the food. Devotee can say, non-devotee can say. But a devotee is eating Krishna prasadam. So the devotee is getting spiritual benefit from it. And as we quote how Krishna says, non-prasadam is only sinful if you eat it. So, but they're saying though, they are enjoying their senses, the sense of eating, tasting, because they're eating food. The devotees do the same thing, but we get benefit from it. Non-devotees, they dance. Devotees, they dance. We dance in kirtan. They dance in disco. They say they're enjoying themselves. But devotees are in ecstasy, singing, dancing. Non-devotees also sing. But we sing, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So devotional service, the activities with even the physical bodies that devotees and non-devotees have, the activities are similar. But we do our activities under the guidance and instruction of Guru. And so we have spiritual benefit from it, and they are just extending their lives. Another one, another one, another one. More misery, especially in Kali Yuga, life doesn't get better. In a lifetime is more challenging, lifetime to lifetime. So we derive happiness by serving the senses of Sri Krishna. Now, it's mentioned, Sri Prabhupada mentioned, there could be even difficulties that a sannyasi would face when a person decides to take sannyasi. But why should we serve even when there's difficulty? Normally, people, when they have difficulty, they get turned off. They want to serve, but you know, there's this, and there's this, there's this. The mind immediately says, well, why am I going through all of this? And I remember one lecture that I saw in video. Radha Maharaj gave a lecture. There were quite a few devotees there. And it came to questions time. And one Mataji raised her hand. Maharaj said, okay. So she started speaking. And then Mataji really poured her heart out in what she's new, Bhakti, in what she's trying to do to serve. Do devotion service, in the temple and so on. But then, without going into details in her life, she said, I'm having so much difficulty. Everything I'm trying to do, difficulty comes one way or the other. Maharaj, is it possible to ask Krishna to make it a little easier on me to serve? Because after all, I have to just try to serve. So I was very curious to see what Maharaj is going to say in answer to that. Because we already say it's very difficult. But Maharaj said the difficulties come in order that we might learn lessons from them as we serve. The difficulties come. Krishna does not want us to just suffer. There's always something behind for the devotee to learn. Then you say, well, what about the pure devotee? Doesn't have any faults. Why difficulties? Your papa went through two heart attacks before he got off the boat, before he got to America. What was the need? He was coming to put Krishna consciousness out in the world based on what the spiritual master, his spiritual master, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, told him to do. Then he goes through all this difficulty, even before he got on the boat, so much difficulty he went through. Now, it's like what Bhishma also went through, so much difficulty. The pure devotees go through difficulty, so, and usually they get more difficulty than the pure devotees get. So that we, those of us, and I know, that conditioned souls, myself being, that never give up on serving when they're difficult, because all you have to see is that, but look what Srila Prabhupada went through. How many heart attacks did you get? Have you gotten a stroke? Have you been kicked out? Have you been over in a place with no money? Have you been, don't even know where you're going to be? Have you lived with a drug person who has threatened to kill you? Have you gone through all of that? And really, really leaving a nice spiritual place, like Vrindavan, and coming to all of this in a worse part of one of the most difficult cities in the United States, New York City, and living like that. What is the point? You say, well, no, I wouldn't want to do that. Even before he got on the boat to come, those who meant well, they were telling him, please don't go. You're old. The place is cold. And you're not well prepared for it financially or anything, and you're still going anyway. But he never gave up until he got to come, because he had great faith in what his spiritual master asked him to do, and he had great faith that Krishna consciousness is to be spread around the world. That is his duty. He has been told to do it, and he was going to put himself out there for Krishna to use him any way that he would like to use him, for it to happen or not happen as he likes. That was his mood. He says, I have great faith. Use me like a puppet. Make me dance. Use me as a puppet. Whatever you want. So, anyway, so the difficulties are like that. Now, if we honestly, sincerely, and willingly do service, with difficulty as part of it, then it also shows how much we care for the Lord and His devotees. Because if there's difficulties and the difficulties, we're not going to do it anymore. Then that means our care is not so deep. So even if we face difficulties and do it anyway, then that's great. And that's people conditioned souls. Pure devotees, when difficulties come, they get happier. Because now this is a way to show how much they care for the Lord. That is their thinking. How much they care for the Lord. They're actually going to be more determined to do things because their difficulties in the way. Okay. So when we serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we develop true love. Initially, let's just put it this way. A true lover is always happy to give to his or her beloved, even if difficulties come up. A true lover will be willing to do whatever, even if difficulties come up in the process of giving, they'll still do it anyway. So when we come to devotional service, first we're given instructions by the spiritual master to practice devotional service in a certain way. There is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. There is a certain number of prescribed rounds to chant, 16 minimum. Practice that every day. And initially, when we're not there, we are encouraged to do what we can and arrange our times to be able to get to that minimum number of rounds. Now, that's called sadhana bhakti. Sadhana bhakti is devotional service under the instruction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A devotee's aim is to develop love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Now, we practice sadhana bhakti. Bhakti, things to do in devotional service under the instruction of a spiritual master to ultimately make it a habit of doing it and then ultimately love doing it. Now, Sri Prabhupada is giving so much mercy. Rounds are actually supposed to be 64 rounds. Now, he's brought it down to 16 rounds, only one quarter of what is supposed to be done. So if we do it, then at least we show Krishna that we are obedient to the order of the spiritual master. That's the beginning, obedience. So he says to do it. I remember His Holiness Chandramali Swami sometimes makes comments as, some devotees, they endeavor to do 16 rounds. You try to finish 16 rounds and you put the japa bead by. I'm finished with 16 rounds. I can do whatever I want to do the rest of the day because I'm done with 16 rounds. That's obedience, all right, but that's not love at all. That's not love. So, but it starts off and then slowly. So the consciousness has to change. The consciousness has to change. Devotional service under instruction, sadhana bhakti, is not supposed to be that way forever. Because you may be obedient, and the obedience, it's good though, because it draws the mercy of the Lord. Because spiritual master is satisfied that you're obeying what it is, then Krishna will also be merciful. But still, the aim is to love the Lord. So at some point, you should do service to give your hearts to the Lord. So, if you're doing 16 rounds, if you're doing 16 rounds now, then one point we want to make is, Sri Prabhupada says minimum 16 rounds. Sri Prabhupada didn't say 16 rounds, he said minimum 16 rounds. It's supposed to be 64 and it's down to 16. So, and then in the Bhagavad Gita, Ye Yatama Prabhadyante Tam Satarva Bhajamiyaham, to the extent that we give out, we surrender to the Lord, He rewards accordingly. Therefore, if we do 16 rounds and we decide to do one or two more rounds, then we really are obeying Srila Prabhupada because he said minimum 16 rounds. We've done the minimum, and if you go over it a little bit, and this is for those who are chanting 16 rounds, if you go over it a little bit, you're telling Krishna that I just want to do the extra for you. And what do you think Krishna would think about that? This person is really beginning to connect with me. So it's not just a question of obeying the instruction. Now he or she really wants to do. Because a true lover gives not because they want something back, they give just to give. So anything that we do, and it doesn't have to be the rounds, it may be something else too that you do, that you give a little more of yourself. Every time you give more of yourself, okay, the easier thing is to say, see, Papa says minimum. So if I do more, obviously I'm giving more of myself. So that's obvious. But in everything else that you do, you give a little more of yourself. You're doing it, especially if you have difficulties, you don't let the difficulties stop you and do it, then you're opening up your heart to the Lord. And he said there's two things, especially for conditioned souls. Pure devotees, he will relate to them wonderfully. Conditioned souls, he knows that they would be happy when they go back to Godhead. Therefore, two things are important. In the material world, there's always danger. So Krishna protects. That's one. And then Krishna purifies. So there's protection and there's also purification. When a person is being purified, they get to be a better devotee, and the better that they are, of course, better chance of them going back to Godhead sooner than later. And so when we give of our hearts, then Krishna will also help us in that way, for protection and also for purification. So, to recap, happiness and distress, a person who tolerates it, like the seasons coming and going, then that person strives, even when there are difficulties, to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That person is eligible for liberation, going back to Godhead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So, any questions or comments? Questions or comments? Thanks.
Question about the chanting the 16 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
How in the towards the end of the life, when your body is not capable to do it, so what's the option at that time?
There are so many examples in the Shastra about when a person has a particular set service. Sanatana Goswami went through it. Haridas Thakur went through it. Okay. What to do? This is not, this Krishna is kind. This isn't a situation of service where when it's obvious that you're facing the kind of difficulty that's insurmountable, that the same service at the same level has to be done. That doesn't necessarily have to be that way. There are people, I'll come to the announcement, there are people who have gotten old to the point that if they offer obeisances normally, they won't be able to get up. There's somebody like me, I can't sit cross-legged too long. So there's always adjustments that are made. Now, the best situation for a devotee, now to answer the question directly, is when genuinely close to death time has come. Is that what you meant? Yeah, that time. It may not be possible to complete the rounds. But the whole idea, if the person is still sound, that they can hear the name of the Lord, they can hear the mantra itself, because the ears are the sense that tends to be the latest in shutting down. They may not be able to chant much, but they can hear. When the person is getting ready to die, they don't have any work to do anyway, right? The whole time is this. They can hear the whole day without having to chant the name itself. Just hear the holy name of the Lord, because the whole point about death at the time of death is where your mindset is where you're going. So if you can't do the mantra yourself, or the person who is leaving the body can't do the mantra themselves, but they hear the mantra, then their mindset is on the mantra because of what they're hearing. And Krishna gives the mercy that no. So at that time, japa 16 rounds is not important. It's just hearing the holy name. Like the Vrindavasis do the holy day, they don't do 16 rounds either. It's the whole day they're talking about Krishna. Okay, yeah. So that is the situation to be. If the person has not got to the point where their senses are off so much that he can't, they haven't got to the point where their senses I've made it more difficult for them to communicate, and they can communicate, and this difficulty is there, they can definitely ask their spiritual master. They can ask their spiritual master, if they can, even the silent prayer to the picture of their spiritual master. This is the situation I'm in. What should I do? Because spiritual life is very specific. There's a disciple and the guru contract, and the guru is not just a person who is, you know, the disciple is obeying, but the guru is also one who has the contract to make sure that they guide that disciple back to the spiritual world. Therefore, in situations like that, all the disciple has to do is ask permission, ask in prayer what to do, and have the guru guide. And whatever the guru guide, guru is a representative of Krishna. So basically, when he answers, basically Krishna has answered you then. Okay. So at that point, you know, whatever you can do, they'll tell you. And that's what Sanatana Goswami had to go through. He was making parikrama, and then they finally gave him Shila. So you go around this Shila, and as good as going through the whole distance that you used to do. Yeah, so adjustments are made like that. Does that help answer your question?
Yes, just a follow-up question. Just
okay.
That, you know, it's described that, you know, you can do the, either you can do the bhakti and you can do the surrender. This two different mode of achieving the liberation, devotion or surrender. Mm-hmm. And because of the, towards the end of life, you cannot do the devotion. Can the surrender Krishna is a part of that, or
as far as I know, devotion and surrender go together normally. But when a person is getting ready to leave the body, it comes back to what we said. Hearing the holy name, if you can't do anything else, hearing the holy name becomes devotional also. Surrender, a physical body will make you surrender. What else can you do anyway? So, you know, it's all about then hearing the holy name. About hearing the holy name. So, in that sense, the mind has to, yes, stay on the holy name and surrender that way. Yeah.
Thank you.
But
I, can I add a little
bit? Absolutely. You can, yeah.
So, take it back. Like to add to what I have probably said, whatever we do in devotion or bhakti, so we already said, like, preparation for the end moment when we leave this body. So, where our consciousness lies. Now, when we have this devotional, you know, activities, our life is filled with a lot of devotees. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Recently, I came to know of a couple of instances when somebody is leaving the body,
mm-hmm.
and he or she is surrounded by so many devotees in the hospital that even she was not in the full consciousness, and already somebody is offering the, you know, Radhakund water, somebody is offering her
Tulsi
leaf, or somebody is chanting on rotation. Everybody has a job in New York, right? This is the case of the New York. Everybody is coming every 2 hours out of their job, chanting, and as soon as she hears the chanting, her expressions are totally different. So devotees will make that happen, guru will make that happen for you. If you have really surrendered, really you have surrendered to the devotee. We know how much we have surrendered, but it has to be pure. Right. So if your surrenderance is pure, definitely it will be taken care of.
If you're more determined to surrender, this is all a process. We're determined to surrender, yes. The more you give your heart, the more you're surrendering. And the more you're surrendering, Krishna, all of this will be known. The Lord Chaitanya doesn't miss anything.
Mm-hmm.
But when that time comes that you really need, you know, the devotional highest credits from it, they will actually arrange. Well, in fact, I'll just say one thing and then I'll stop, and that is that for a devotee who's leaving the body and has done good work, not right all the time, but everything is from their hearts that they've served. Lord Chaitanya, gentlemen, Swami said this also, Lord Chaitanya actually forces his image into the mind of that devotee before they leave. Even that the Lord does, just so they remember him. So if you give your heart to Krishna, you haven't lost that at all. It's all gain. All gain. Yeah, and it's important that we remember that. Sri Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you. Yeah. Hare Krishna. This is 8:36 now.
Yeah.
What?
I thought somebody else has a question.
Okay.
Prabhuji, one quick question. Like in the Katha somewhere you mentioned about our aim as a devotee should to become a sannyasi, to leave our material relations and so just to clarify how a grihast, you know, when you're in the grihast with wife and children, how can we go into that direction without leaving any everything?
Srila Prabhupada has basically left it up to grihasthas themselves as far as taking sannyas. This is a question that he has commented on. There is what's there in terms of, you know, the steps, you know, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and then sannyasi. Srila Prabhupada said, and I remember reading, I even know where, it's in the calendar, you know, that calendar, 365, every day there is a, Srila Prabhupada. He mentioned that when the couple, grihastha couple, are both devotees, serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is not necessary for one of them to get into a sannyas, you know, especially if it's going to be very inconvenient for the other person. It is not necessary to do sannyas. Vanaprastha, yes. Vanaprastha, yes. Vanaprastha means you don't care for the children anymore. Basically, that's all that's all the children are grown and they live in the life. So he's not putting sannyas on us at this point. Another, you know, merciful move or decision by Srila Prabhupada. It's not required. It's not required. So many things he's taken. We can talk about a lot of things that he's given us breaks. But yeah, this is one of those too. Any other comments, questions? Okay. So we can end. Srila Prabhupada ki. Vaishnava Thakur ki. Nitai Gaura Premanandi. Hare Krishna.